Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning to talk a little bit about the 2020 census. The head of the San Juan County Counts Committee, Devin Neely, is here from San Juan County. Good morning. Good
morning, Scott. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Good to have you back. Thank you for being here today on the wrap-up day.
Yep. The last day, we're in under 15 hours now left in the 2020 census.
But who's counting?
Yeah.
I guess you're counting. I guess it's you.
Here's the thing. We've got to do the counting.
Yes.
The people, the time.
You really are keeping track of these things.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Very good.
That is why they put me in charge.
Perfect. Well, I can't think of anyone better to be in charge of numbers than you, because you've been counting for a long time and putting this whole committee together to get the word out about the count. And we'll look at some numbers and see how we're doing here in just a moment. Also joining us here in the studio is from the San Juan United Way, Catherine Abeta is here, the executive director. Good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
You as well.
And Jennifer Johnson from the United Way is also with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you both, because I know the census has big impacts on programs and nonprofits in our community and means a lot for the population and folks who rely on some of these things. And so, Devin, let me start back with you, and we'll start with kind of where we need to start. How are we doing with the count today?
You know, not great. I will say not great in the self-response category. However, at this point, the Census Bureau is reporting a 99.9% enumeration across the county, across the country, rather, and that does include San Juan County. Let me run through the numbers here real quickly. Across the U.S., 99.9% of households have been enumerated. That means that someone has either counted them or they have responded by themselves to the census. 33.1% of those were visited by a census worker, and I don't have the self-response. 66.8% of the U.S. has responded by themselves. So better than half. It's a pretty good number as far as I'm concerned. In New Mexico, the same sort of thing. 99% of the state has been enumerated, 41.4% responding on their own, and 58.8% of people have been visited by a census worker. And, you know, we don't have specific numbers on the county level for non-response follow-up, but in our county, 48% of the county was included in the non-response follow-up. That means that either you had a post office box, so you didn't receive an invitation to respond to the census in the mail, or you lived on the Navajo Nation, or any of the other, indigenous communities around this area.
Right, okay.
They didn't receive an invitation to respond in the mail. Those of us with a street address that receive our mail at that street address rather than a P.O. box got a letter in the mail. I myself was interested in seeing how many letters I would get in the mail, and the number is like 8.
Okay.
Before I actually responded to the census, I was curious.
That was
about
a test. That was a test that you did.
And I got 4 visits from a census worker. I got little slips of paper in my door. Census workers were authorized to visit housing units up to 6 times, which is far more than in the past. In the past, it's been 2 times. They would get 2 visits. The information would be left at someone's door, and they would be responsible to reply to the census on their own after that.
And that's just one of the things that has been so different about this year's census compared to others, because of COVID-19 and all the other things that that you've been working with to try to still do the constitutional requirement of getting a census done in 2020.
Correct. Well, previous to COVID-19, the count was totally new, because this year it included an online response format. The Census Bureau had the option of doing that in 2010, but they didn't, because they wanted to make sure that they had all the security concerns addressed. So now, with security concerns addressed, they open it up to self-response through the internet for the first time ever in 2020. And that was great. You know, we saw that people could start responding as early as mid-March. Letters were in the mail, and people got those mailers towards the end of March and early April. And Census Day on April 1st, unfortunately, at that point, the whole country had changed.
Right.
The face of the world had changed.
Right.
And so many of the plans that we had laid in planning ahead of time, you know, by 18 months, you know, we're talking intensive planning ahead of time. That was all thrown out the window, as was the Bureau's operational plan. They weren't sending people door to door, and that operation didn't resume in our area until July of this year. And so rather than being over in July, the U.S. Census was slated originally to be done by the end of July. It didn't start until July.
Right.
And there are many, many challenges that we saw this year.
No kidding. And so, but today is the day that things are going to wrap up.
Correct.
It has come from the nowhere else than the Supreme Court of this country.
Correct. Yeah, this is very fascinating in and of itself that there have been...
Fascinating is a word.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
It is the nicest word I could possibly think
yes,
of.
Yes, right.
This has been in the courts. The Census Bureau announced their intentions to end the census by the end of October. There was a court case that...
But even before it was end of September, right? I mean, wasn't
well,
there
correct.
A September? I mean, it's for the public, I feel for them because there's been on again, off again, on again, and for you too.
Correct.
Putting this all together. But today is the day.
Today is
really
the day.
Not going to be any more changes. So.
By midnight Hawaiian time today, 11:59:59, Thursday, which is 4 a.m. New Mexico time.
Okay, you figured this out. Yes, right. Right. The count will stop.
That is when the count will stop. The
okay.
online instrument will close. There will be no more enumeration on the ground. The Census Bureau seems to feel confident that they have an accurate and complete count. Even for those who haven't self-responded, they feel that the non-response follow-up paints a good picture of the current situation here in the U.S., and I'm really fascinated to see what that looks like when we see population numbers for San Juan County and the rest of the state.
Right, and so we can look online and see how we're doing. You were talking about
Correct.
Those numbers before,
yeah.
and I put them up at least the statewide number. So we're in kind of a light blue, which
mm-hmm.
I think is a good color to
That's
be in.
That's over 50%. Blue is
I see.
A good thing. That
okay.
is over 50% on this map. As we see, Bernalillo County has a really good response, 71% in the metro area. However, Bernalillo County doesn't grapple with problems like we have, and that is that 40% of our county doesn't have access to reliable broadband internet service.
Right.
And if you have to respond online and you don't have internet service, how exactly are you going to do that?
Right. So if I scroll over, I can see then the numbers right now in San Juan County. The self-response rate is now, as you said, above 50%, but
Correct.
Barely, 51.4.
Correct. Yes.
So, and internet, we had about a third, 36%.
Correct. So the rest of those self-responders actually did so over the phone. So we're
right.
looking at, 14%, 15% of people called into the Census Bureau. And you can still do so at 844-330-2020.
Okay.
You can call in right now and respond to the census.
Until 4 a.m.
Until 4 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So you can do this.
Another fun fact about that is you don't have to know that special number, that code that they gave you. I tried it myself to just to troubleshoot.
Right.
So I called and said, what if I don't have that number anymore that's been sent to me in the mail? And they're like, well, there's other ways we can look you up.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
So, and I
probably
have
don't want to do that, but
it bring your patience if you do that, because some of our friends on the Navajo Nation have three addresses, and I
yeah.
find this very fascinating. I've had some people stop by the office, and they'll have three addresses. They have a P.O. box.
Mm-hmm.
They have 1.17 miles east of the Ngezi post office, and that's on their driver's license. And then they have a house number and road number, and that's what the Census Bureau is looking for. And also fascinatingly, the Census Bureau doesn't have our county roads listed as county road. It's listed as CORD, C-O-R-D, County Road, and to the Census Bureau, apparently that's CORD, and to the poor lady sitting in New York State or whatever that's answering the phone trying to explain where CORD 7800 was in the easy was a challenge. So I have heard from some of our friends on the Navajo Nation who have been frustrated by their efforts to get counted because
Interesting.
It has not been easy. It has not been easy.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's look at the numbers, and then we're going to talk about how this impacts nonprofits in the area and then these families, too, that we are talking about. So we're, again, at 51.4. That's below, as we can see on this graph, the 2010 self-response rate of closer to 60%.
Correct.
And so we've got we need to get some work to do, I guess,
in the last
14 hours or whatever the math is.
We would need a few thousand people to respond today to get back into the self-response rate of 2010. And I pulled up, and it'll be quicker if I read these than you trying to navigate it to it. Because last time there was a question about the response rate in the specific cities. Aztec, a 61.3 self-response rate. Bloomfield, a 57.1 self-response rate. Kirtland also with a 61% self-response rate. And Farmington wins this round, 65.6 self-response rate. And again, we see that folks in an incorporated area with access to reliable, quality broadband internet have a better ability to respond, frankly.
Right.
And so, as frustrating as that is, part of what is really great about the census is we now have updated metrics showing how important it is to have broadband internet. And frankly, we're in conversations at the county about local internet. We see that local fiber internet to serve our area. We see that Farmington Electric Utility is already in talks with the possibility of becoming an internet provider via fiber.
Right.
And so these sorts of numbers, that's exactly the whole point of the census and the census count, is to have these solid numbers so that organizations can make good decisions on where the need is, whether that need be for internet, whether that need be for the services of nonprofits such as our friends at the San Juan United Way.
Very true. And, of course, you talk about the county because that is the other hat that you wear.
Correct.
Is working for San Juan County, and so these numbers obviously get used by governments all the time and nonprofits and others to kind of try to figure this stuff out. And as we have learned over the last eight months to be exact, internet's really important for school, important for working from home, all these different things have been pushed out of the internet, and if you don't have reliable service, that's a big problem.
Correct.
And we're seeing it time and time again in our communities. So
yeah, it's really fascinating how these census numbers are used on an everyday basis in everything. When you see the sign outside of Farmington that says population 45,000, that's a census number. These are numbers. The other thing that I found fascinating when I started learning about the census is the census count informs decisions about where chain restaurants may choose to place a location. We saw an influx of chain restaurants in the years after the last census because at that point census data showed these companies that it was a community that they would survive and thrive in, and there was a need for their services here. And so, with increase in commerce, increase in business, we see how that affects our nonprofits. Recently, we've seen more businesses leave than join us here in San Juan County, and so that's changed the face of how nonprofits serve our area. And all of these numbers inform everything that happens in our area.
Right. Very true. Well, let's turn to our friends from the United Way to talk a little bit about what they are seeing with all that's going on and the importance of these census numbers. Catherine Aveta and Jennifer Johnson, give us a little bit of an idea of what you're seeing at the San Juan United Way. And again, full disclosure, I'm on the board of the San Juan United Way, so I know they're going to be able to answer this question.
Oh, shoot.
Yes.
Really, I just want to kind of jump on to what Devin was saying about how important the census data is to informing decisions about our local nonprofits. So as everyone knows, hopefully all your listeners know by now, that United Way is a local nonprofit in our county that we go out and we raise money from people, businesses, and anyone who will give to support the really like life-changing work that's being done by our nonprofits here in our county. And that money that we raise ends up supplementing a really vast budget that they run internally. So all these nonprofits have really intricate budgets that are made up of state grants, federal grants, foundations, private funding, all kinds of different funding, but our funding gets to be kind of special in that it's private dollars that can fill gaps where that state or federal funding doesn't. And it's that state and federal funding that starts off with census data. So those federal and state funds end up making the bulk of those programs, and that ends up funding the bulk of the work then that's being done in our community. And so we just see it as such an important thing for nonprofits to care about and get involved in, because we'll never be able to make up the gaps in lost funding from like census type data. The amount that's at risk is so large. Every year there's over $800 billion up for grabs that's allocated by the federal government to the states based on that census data. And then from there, it goes even further, and that's where our agencies are applying for that funding. So there's just so much at stake.
Right. And give us some idea of these nonprofits that you're talking about, of who they help. Because I think we sometimes think about, well, it's helping kids and things like that. But give us some ideas of what we're talking about.
Well, it really is almost everything. Some of the things that I think are most critical are support services for children, foster care services, adoption services, abuse and neglect, grants and different programs that are meant to serve as wraparound services in a community. Those come from census data. So those are Child Haven, those are our shelters, Echo Food Bank. A lot of funding is directed for domestic violence shelters and services, abuser prevention, sexual assault prevention and treatment, and those agencies are just everywhere in our community.
Sure. Right, and they're using that money, and again, it relies on these numbers, these population numbers, to see where the service can go. And and Jennifer, do you see some? I know you see things too in your line of work, right? When working with United Way about where this money can go.
Oh, absolutely. And just to sort of piggyback on what Catherine was saying, for example, the census data is what's going to provide school lunch and breakfast programs. So something that we'll say on the campaign trail is that there are just shy of 9,000 chronically food insecure children in San Juan County alone. And so Echo Food Bank, for example, is one of the programs that United Way funds that does a backpack program to give these kids who essentially come to school for the guaranteed breakfast and lunch, because it's the only two meals that they know they're going to get that day, unless they sign up for this backpack program and they're identified, in which they can take home a backpack of food for them and their families over the weekend. But that's a perfect example of how we're just trying to fill that little gap, but without an accurate census count, we're not going to be able to have the breakfast and lunch part of it, which is so crucial. And so it's a lot heavier, I think, than people realize, the gravity of what an undercount can do.
Very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. And seniors, too, are part of this as well, right? I mean, there's money for senior centers and Meals on Wheels, I think, too, is a United Way funded program.
Yep.
So that can be helpful as well.
Yeah. As another example on the senior angle, another source of funding that comes through United Way to the county from Congress actually is FEMA funding for emergency food and shelter. And so over the summer, our county, based on census counts, was awarded about $152,000 just for emergency food and shelter. And so we were able to grant that out with the local board to the domestic violence shelter, the children's shelter, and to Northwest New Mexico seniors who do the Meals on Wheels and are trying to keep the congregate meals alive through kind of a drive-through process. And so that is another great chunk of funding that was able to help keep those programs going because of census count.
And if I may, Scott, for every 1% undercounted, the state of New Mexico stands to lose $620 million in federal funding. Okay, that is a 1% undercount statewide. Now, if we bring that down to the county level, San Juan County stands to lose $37.7 million per 1% undercount. So if you look at the last population count of San Juan County, around 130,000, 1% of that is 1,000 people.
Right. And that's a lot. Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. 1,000 people.
I think that's really early for math. I'm going to go with your numbers.
1,300 right. people means big bucks. And,
sure.
And what that breaks down to is
and that's over 10 years, right? Till the next census.
That's a year.
Per year. But,
that's
but
per
that
year.
Undercount sticks with us for
correct.
The next 10 years.
Correct. Each person in our county is worth about $5,500 in federal funding per year over the next 10 years, and I think they've equated that to, would you like $10? Would you like $10 a day for the next 10 years? Well, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Right. And so would all of these nonprofits and organizations that rely on this federal funding.
Exactly. And so I guess my question, Devin, I don't know if you know the answer to this, is if there is a perceived major undercount, you mentioned the nationwide numbers were at 99% or were really close, but you've told me before that New Mexico and San Juan County in particular is one of the hardest counties to count in the U.S. Census. And so if we do have an undercount that people feel is way off base from what we were expecting, is there any recourse, anything we can do, or do we have to wait till 2030?
At this point, we have to wait
until
2030. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know.
In 2010, it's estimated there was about a 1.65% undercount. It is too early for us to know, and the Census Bureau really hasn't put out information. They feel as though they have affected a complete count. I would still anticipate, if 2010 was a point and a half, I would anticipate a 2% undercount at this point. And that really doesn't even look at the Navajo Nation, because there have been further challenges on the Navajo Nation to affect a complete count. And so while there is no concrete data to say yes or no the count is accurate at this point, I would not be shocked to learn of an undercount in our area.
Interesting. Now, and we know, though, that the census in between the major census every 10 years, they are still tracking populations.
Correct.
And they're still putting out updated numbers or estimates, right, of
correct.
What how they feel things are going. So it's not like we don't have data from a couple years ago, and we have to go all the way back to 2010. And so we should get and that's how they figure this out, right, is they kind of look at some of those estimates in the mid-years to figure out where things should be in 2020?
Correct. There are other ways, and actually there's another court case pending at the moment that would allow the Census Bureau to include tribal enrollment, CIB numbers, things of that, to make sure there is a complete count on the Navajo Nation and through other Native populations. I don't know where that court case is at the moment, but that's just another part of the Census Bureau is doing the work,
right? Of course.
But it is there are challenges mounting, and so it has been a very fascinating and I'm sure if frustrating for us. I can't imagine
there's that word again.
The Bureau.
Yes. No, I agree, and because you have just the army of people and volunteers and staffers that have been hired to do the work here just in San Juan County alone, you duplicate that in every county all across our country, mm-hmm. and those are the folks that have been, okay, you're going to work tomorrow. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're mm-hmm. not. Yes,
yeah.
you are. That's what we've been dealing with for the last month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another fascinating part of this is the Census Bureau intended to hire 1,200 enumerators to be going door-to-door and counting people in our county, and the last
in our county.
Correct.
1,200. Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
I heard it. Our listeners heard it. Okay.
That's correct. It was supposed to be 1,200 enumerators.
Okay.
They did not have that many hired. At last count, I think it was around 300. There were enumerators being brought in from other areas who don't know the geography, who don't know the cultures, who don't know
the cords.
Exactly.
The cords,
the county roads, the two tracks,
sure.
the third big white rock past the barking dog.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think they probably would have been better off using postal carriers or, you know, FedEx employees.
Right. Who know
where these people are, you know, and that was part of the deal, is they intended, the Census Bureau intended to hire people from the community to be in the community and knew the community and knew where these people are. There is good work that did happen with the Census Bureau in enumerating group housing, and that's everything from the San Juan County Jail to retirement homes, rest homes, assisted care facilities. We don't have dorms here, but there is enumeration within dorm facilities. There is a lot of work being done, and then I won't say hampered, but it was there was a challenge. There was a lot of challenge to make sure that this was a good, clean count.
Right. Well, and as you mentioned, you know, the plan was to get things wrapped up by July. Really didn't get started till July because of all the rethinking we had to do. We, meaning you and your committee, had to do with COVID and some other ways to do this in a safe way.
Correct. And you know, actually, frankly, the law says that the count has to be delivered to the president and the Senate by December 31st. And that's not going to happen this year. And it's the first time in history that the census count has not been delivered to the legislative and executive branch on time. So it'll be the early part of next year. I think April is what they're targeting to get that information finalized and made public.
I see.
I look forward to seeing what the count looks like.
And I think that was one of the arguments before the Supreme Court that decided to end the count today, was the timing to get it done as close to the end of the year as possible, or at least to get that process started.
But that's so the Supreme Court ruling earlier this week overturned another ruling that forced the Census Bureau to go through the end of October, which was the original, well, this second timeline.
Second new deadline.
The original amended timeline, yeah. I need Red String and Charlie Day to help me out.
Yes, right.
So that ruling by the Supreme Court overturned the lower court's ruling, and essentially the Census Bureau could have stopped at any time, and they did elect to take those extra few days, because I believe that came out late Monday. So we had Tuesday and Wednesday, and now today is the last day, that 72-hour window to retool anything that we were doing to make sure that we had the correct dates and folks knew that this was the last chance. And this is the last chance. Under 15 hours to go, I believe, to participate in the census, 2020census.gov, 844-330-2020. At this point, talk to somebody, 844-330-2020. They're very friendly. I've helped some folks do it, and all they're doing quite literally is reading the census form, just like the one you would have gotten in the mail. A census worker would have dropped off for you. You would have done yourself online. They are reading it for you, but they have access to a database that's going to help find your address and better classify your information so they don't have to reconfirm that later on.
Very good. Well, and again, today is the last day. If you know someone, friend, neighbor, relative who hasn't responded yet, this would be their last chance to do that. And we know just how important these numbers are. When we talked about our nonprofits, when we talk about all the other agencies and programs in our community that serve the underserved and provide a lot of these resources, whether it's food or after-school programs or all the things we've been talking about this morning. So the census really works its way into all these things. Very important.
I never thought about it. I never knew. And in fact, San Juan County impaneled the Complete Count Committee before I started at San Juan County. And upon joining that committee, I learned more about the census than most people ever even knew there was about the census. Yeah. And it's been a fascinating journey. And now I'm excited to see what San Juan County looks like.
We are all excited to see that. So looking forward to it. So great. Well, we are out of time, everybody. But I can't thank you enough for coming in again to talk about all the important work that all of you are doing. So thank you very much, everybody.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. My guests from the San Juan United Way and the San Juan County Counts Committee talking about the 2020 census right here on KSJE. More coming up after this. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.